Welcome to the Zelda Universe Roundtable. My name is Peyton Garrett, also known as Emperor P, and I am the moderator for today. And we will be discussing The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, as it is its 20th anniversary. With me, I got four very, very, very welcome people. We'll start with the ladies here.
Hi guys, Amanda Van Heil here. I'm a Zelda Universe staff member, and I do a lot of things on the site. Pretty much anything that involves talking or being on camera, that's where you'll find me.
Hi, I'm Masanoa. I am a content creator over on YouTube, Twitch, and art sites. I do pretty things sometimes, once in a while. But mostly I just talk loud.
Okay, then, and the gents?
I'm Joshua Lindquist. I'm the content director at ZU. I do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and help manage the writing teams.
Hi, I'm Alex Rosenberg. I'm the media director here at Zelda Universe. I also do a lot of the overseeing of all the media stuff, so like the dubs and everything that you see all that goes on YouTube and Twitch. That's kind of my responsibility, and I also do also loud things on the internet occasionally.
And I'm just here and I talk with a toaster mic. Alrighty then. So I guess we'll start with whoever wants to start, but just tell us a little bit about... Because I only played Ocarina of Time for the first time 2 years ago on the Wii U Virtual Console, and it was a garbage experience.
Well, yeah, because the Wii U Virtual Console version of it is garbage. That is definite potato quality.
And then the second time I played Ocarina of Time, I was blindfolded and had oven mitts on. So...
It was at ZU-thon this year? Oh, you poor man.
I'm so sorry.
My experiences with Ocarina of Time are very, very limited. So, whoever wants to introduce, you know, how they heard about Ocarina of Time or how they got into it and then kind of their experience playing it, just kind of shoot.
So, I learned about Ocarina of Time from a little magazine called Nintendo Power that I happily subscribed to. And I saw this really cool game was coming out within the next few months, and I read through all the magazine to see, like, the development process. And then pre-orders opened up, and so I got my dad to take me to KB Toys because I had saved my money up from my grandma. And I went and pre-ordered the game, and that's kind of where it started for me.
Alrighty. What about you, Alex?
I've said this earlier on other, like, things. I started Zelda kind of late. Ocarina of Time was the second Zelda game I think I actually played through. That was 2011, because my introduction to Zelda was a lot later than I wish it was.
I've been playing Zelda longer than you? How did that happen?
Hey. Listen.
Alex, I was -4 when this game came out.
Yeah, well, I came out when it was, like, I was 4, so, like, listen. But I played on the Wii version first, which I was able to use a GameCube controller, which was much better. I do now own a copy of, like, version 1.0 on the N64. And it's one of those games that I constantly revisit now, not only because I'm doing a lot more randomizer stuff, but also because I just introduced, a pal of mine to the game for the first time and got to sort of relive it through her, which was super fun. So.
Yeah, I can't get that randomizer to work. Anyway, Josh, what about you?
Well, I'm with Amanda. I followed Nintendo Power. They promised me it was going to come out by the end of 1997. And then
I remember that.
I had to wait a whole other year.
Oh my gosh, I remember how disappointed I was when that happened. Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten.
Yeah, so I was following it quite a bit and waited every month to see if the new Nintendo Power would have any more screenshots for me, and most of the time it did not. But anyway, it was my third Zelda game, so I was very excited since I had already played A Link to the Past and Link's Awakening. I ended up getting to watch it played when it finally came out, because I did not have a Nintendo 64 until a month later at Christmas. So it was my first Nintendo 64 game.
All right, and finally, Missae.
I feel like mine is a little bit different. I initially started playing Zelda because my mom was playing Zelda. She had the N64 was essentially hers, and she was playing all the games back then, and I took a real shine to Zelda because it was medieval and it was fun and there was a dude with a sword and it was all fantasy, and I've always been into that ever since I was really, really little. And I remember that I would play her file just to do the fishing because it was fun and I thought it was cute and I was like, yeah, I'm fishing.
Fishing is fine.
I love fishing in the game. That was so much fun. It was one of my favorite things.
Especially back then.
It might just be that I'm an extremely impatient person, and I've done the fishing so many times in Twilight Princess that I just hate fishing now.
They're not the same. Twilight Princess fishing is very bad.
Yeah, I think you're just like the younger generation as well. Back then, for like kids my age, that was like super impressive.
I mean, it like, felt like you were like really fishing back then. To the real thing as you could get back then.
I don't know. When I tried the real thing, I never caught anything.
I'm pretty sure Big the Cat did it better.
But yeah,
you said the Kinect did it better. Oh my god.
Yes, I said Big the Cat did it better.
Wow, oh, I heard harsh. Kinect. I heard Kinect, nope. And I'm like, excuse
Kinect
me?
Did it better. Oh, no.
Definitely said Big the Cat.
Okay, I wanted to make sure.
That was essentially my introduction to Zelda. I didn't actually play the game in its entirety until a bit later, like when I was about 12 or 13, because Redead scared me too much, and was traumatized ever since.
Me too. They freaked me out so much.
High five. Yep.
See, I played Majora's Mask before I played Ocarina, so by the time I got to, like, Ocarina, I was just nullified to all Redead because of Akana Valley.
I mean, also, they just dance in Majora's Mask. If you have the masks, then you never actually have to fight them.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a topic.
They're less
for
scary
time.
In Majora's Mask, for sure.
Yeah, you see them, and it's like, haha, look at those goofy dead guys dancing.
Doing them Russian dances.
Hey, all those dances are actually accurate. Don't at me. Don't get me started on that.
And one of them is indeed a Russian dance. Well, technically German.
Nope, Russian-Ukrainian. I did an entire video about this.
I was about to
Peyton.
Say, don't we have a video
about
this? Do not
argue the dance portion with Alex. He knows it all.
Alrighty then.
Spot on.
I was still right. I was still right about the Russian part, at least.
Yeah, I give you that, but I literally made an entire video series on this. It is probably the one video series I'm actually most proud of on anything I do, so.
Also, this is the wrong game. We're on the wrong game.
I know, but you brought it up, so I have to say it.
It's a sequel.
Honestly,
it's allowed.
Yeah, honestly, the Redeads, I never... By the time I got to play Ocarina, I don't feel like the Redeads affected me nearly as much. What did sort of, like, stun me was Dead Hand, because this was a terrifying boss in an E-rated game, and when I first played it, I wasn't, like, terrifying, but I'm like, why? This is an E-rated game. This shouldn't be here.
Also, in the original versions, like, everything is soaked in blood, too, mm-hmm. So just putting
that
out is terrifying.
Even worse.
Yeah, and when I played it, it was on my television that was going out, so by the time Ganon took over, everything had kind of a red tint, so it just looked even
that's
creepier.
Awful.
It was terrible.
Oh,
I couldn't even play it for a while, and then I got a new television, and I played it again. I'm going, wait, this is less scary. Oh, because the TV
Hello, welcome to Hyrule, where the world itself is soaked in blood.
Woo!
Oh, boy. Hyrule Warriors is meant for that, just the mass murder of thousands of things. Alrighty, so we're gonna jump right into the discussion topics, and this is one that I don't really care about as I play Nintendo games and not other games, but graphics. Graphics of various different games. Opinions on the Ocarina of Time graphics, really?
I mean, at the time, they were outstanding.
Groundbreaking.
Yep.
You have to remember that this is, like, the first, like, real jump to 3D that a lot of these game franchises were making, and I think the way that Zelda went into it worked really well for the time. Whether or not the game's graphics hold up today is debatable. There's a lot of stuff that still is like, man, this is really cool looking. But there are some that's a little bit weird. A lot of it, and we'll talk about that later, as we get further into discussion about, like, the remake. That was addressed, but I think for what it was really revolutionary.
Yeah, I mean, it really set the expectation for all future Zelda games, and it also set the expectations for a lot of just games in general.
Right, I mean, like, I think Alex was the one who just said that this was the time when a lot of games were jumping to 3D for the first time, and a lot of them failed at it. That's just, when you heard that your favorite series was going to be 3D, you almost dreaded it part of the time, like when Metroid Prime was announced. Like, everyone just thought it was going to just destroy the series when you saw that jump, but Zelda was one of them that just got it right, and they got it right on the first try. It looks great. Looks and plays great, but I mean, I actually think the graphics do hold up pretty well. I mean, it's obviously blockier than we would have today, but compared to a lot of other games from that era, it still looks pretty astounding, if you ask me.
I honestly think that a lot of Ocarina of Time's notoriety comes from the fact that it came out so early. A lot of the things that we're probably going to be bringing up is that for the time, Ocarina of Time was amazing, and it still is amazing, especially considering what era it came out in, and the graphics are definitely just a beacon for that.
And that was a major complaint that Randy and Elias both had, is that everyone considers it the greatest Zelda game, but there are honestly just factually better Zeldas out there to some people.
That is an incorrect statement.
Oh, you're picking a fight.
But okay.
You are
very
picking
false.
A fight.
That was their opinions. But go hunt down Elias and
it
Randy
in the last
episode.
It was their opinion, but
yeah,
it is not.
That is it.
Everyone just send weird tweets to Elias saying that you're wrong, basically.
Listen, I quoted Elias pretty much verbatim of what he said in the episode. Or Randy. One of the two of them said that.
The fact that you don't even know which one is a problem.
I listened to that segment.
We recorded that like 2 months ago.
They're both wrong.
And?
They were wrong 2 months ago, and they're still wrong.
I am tweeting Elias right now, just, you're wrong.
Oh.
No context.
So I will make the note here. I think there are the one things I'm noticing now that I'm playing it is that even though it's, you know, revolutionary, it is still a little bit like you can tell that it was kind of like the first and they were still trying to figure out how to make it work because Hyrule Field is still mostly barren. There are only enemies in the child era and there's nothing that you can do really in adult. At least it's what I remember, and that's the more I keep playing, like, the randomizers.
I don't think that was them trying to figure it out. I think that was a technical limitation. I mean, when you look at the development process, they actually had originally planned for it to be more like Mario 64, where you just use the castle, Ganon's castle, as a hub, and went into the different dungeons from there. So Hyrule Field really is kind of still a hub, and I think they filled it as much as they really could. You know, there's not a lot of enemies in it for sure, but there are secrets, and in the adult side, there are the Poes to find. That's really the enemies you encounter. I will give you that it is a little bit odd that the field is infested with Stal children at night before Ganon takes over, and then they are seemingly gone after he controls the whole world.
He just didn't like them.
What,
they're
your
annoying,
backyard isn't,
you know,
filled with dead skeletal children?
I mean, they also got rid of the pee hats, so I'm also okay with that, because those things are the
those
damn
are
worst.
Scary.
Oh,
when I was a kid, I thought they were scary.
The lawnmower of Hyrule.
The lawnmower. No. No, that's a
pun. The lawnmower of Hyrule. I like that. I actually will purposely avoid the pee hats because I just don't feel like dealing with them because I'm like, you're too much of a pain to deal with. I'm going
honestly,
away. Bye.
I don't think I fought a pee hat a single time during my playthrough.
You don't have to. I mean, and
yeah,
especially
yeah,
nowadays.
Don't. You do have to.
I mean, just, back then, you have to remember, we were probably exploring it a lot more thoroughly than a lot of players do nowadays because it does seem empty now. And back then, it just didn't seem empty. There wasn't something to compare it to.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly,
we were exploring that like we explore Breath of the Wild today. That was our Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it really was. And the openness of the field back then just felt like a huge adventure. And like it was a testament to how large you could actually make an individual map in gaming. Because you didn't really have a whole lot of like large areas of that scale. And I feel like back then it was really nice to see and it kind of felt like you could breathe almost. So even though it is empty by today's standards, it was one of those things where having it be open and vast and empty kind of contributed to the atmosphere of the game as a whole.
And also, Ocarina of Time was more about the various regions than about Hyrule Field. I mean, Hyrule Field had been explored before, but we had never explored Lost Woods like we did before, like we did in this game, or Zora's Domain like we did in Ocarina, or Gerudo Valley and all of that. So it really, it didn't take the centerpiece because it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, too.
Yeah, all that's right. Also valid.
Now, on the topic of kind of how it was good for the time but bad now, do you think, like, for newer players, it's a good game? Do you think it was pretty easy to pick up and get into no matter who you really were?
I don't know. Yes. I wouldn't say no matter who you are.
Definitely not no matter who you were, because you don't have, like, a background in gaming, some things, like, are just video game instincts that you kind of, when you've been doing it for so long, you just do and you don't even think about.
I mean, I do think it's a good game for players nowadays. I do think you're better off going with the remake.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
As much as I love Ocarina of Time, I very legitimately believe the remake improved it in every way. I think it is the definitive way to play the game now. But, I mean, I don't. And I definitely wouldn't recommend playing it on the Wii U, but
no, I wouldn't either.
But aside from that, I mean, if you've got an N64 and you're going to pick it up for the first time, I don't think it's a bad game or a bad experience at all.
I think it more depends on, like, where you come from in gaming, because if you started with some of the later games, especially Twilight Princess, which, like, pulls a lot of inspiration pretty much directly from Ocarina of Time. If you go back from that to play the older games, they just feel a little bit more stiff, a little bit more dated. And I do think that these days, if you haven't experienced it before and you don't have the nostalgia backing it up, then it's probably not going to seem as solid to someone from that background as opposed to, like, us who have grown up with it.
It's probably why I kind of don't enjoy the game as much, because Twilight Princess was my first Zelda game. Like, I went backwards. Like, I played literally everything except for Breath of the Wild before I played Ocarina.
I want to quickly just, like, on top of that. So, I mentioned it earlier, but one of my friends had never played a Zelda game before. I gave her a copy of Ocarina of Time 3D to play through. And she actually sort of experienced a lot of the opposite of what sort of that was. Like, she really enjoyed what it was. She didn't really have any preconceived notions of it, but, like, she really enjoyed sort of the mechanics, the aesthetics, all of that. Granted, it's the 3D version, not the original, but I think that she sort of found a lot of, like, the fun things in that. Whether or not she finds it holds up as well when, like, I introduce her to other Zelda games is another thing, but I just felt that needed to be said.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to know, like, people who played Twilight Princess first and then went to Ocarina. I wonder which one they find better overall, because I think a lot of it just has to do with what your first impression was. And I think that, you know, if I had never played a Zelda game before and I played Breath of the Wild and that was my first introduction to Zelda, but then I went back and played the original Ocarina, not even the remake, just like on the N64. I would probably just think, what is this
garbage?
Yeah, exactly. This would be crap to me.
Yeah, that's very true. It's all kind of the level of perspective, really.
It kind of just has to do with what set your primary expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, nostalgia, I do think that nostalgia does play a huge part into how much Ocarina of Time holds up today. Like, as much as I do love that game, I love that game with a fiery passion, so much so that I played it I don't know how many times, but I don't think that if I didn't have that feeling of wonder and that feeling of, oh, I love this game, I have loved this game for so long, I probably would not be as passionate about it as I currently am. Like, I would probably play it and be like, oh yeah, this is pretty good, and then that would be the end of that. But now that I have built such an affinity for it through the years, I just find myself grasping at it that much more.
Yeah. And do you guys feel like the controls and all that were kind of, you know, were intuitive enough, if that makes sense? Does that make sense?
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah, for the time period.
I think the only thing that's a little bit wonky is just aiming. for like the arrows and stuff like that, but for everything else,
I have to disagree with that. Sorry, but I love the aiming.
So I never had any
sharpshooter. Well, say,
well, that, it must be nice to have talent, which I don't have. So I
shoot glaze from across the lake. Thank you.
I'm saying that you have talent because I can't do that. That's not a dig on you. That's a dig on me because I cannot get through any of that. And
I'm
my
sorry,
chat
man.
And my stream will know that.
Oh, yeah, it is in his brand name. His brand name is literally I Do Games Poorly.
That's true. That is
what my friend would call facts. I honestly like a lot of how they do things. I think the way they did it, especially with the N64 controller, which as a controller is a little weird, makes a lot of sense. I do like what the 3DS remake changes with it, making like the hover boots and the iron boots an equipable item, but even then, it's not nearly as like tedious, and I think the controls work well. They're a little wonky occasionally, but for the most part, they're relatively solid.
Yeah. I think
a lot of the wonkiness is in the camera.
That was my issue.
And that was really any
camera.
That was really any N64 game, is the camera was always a little off, because I remember having that same issue with like Mario 64. Yeah.
And I got to experience that at Zeuthon playing the Fire Temple for the first time, trying to get the boss key and run stupid narrow ledge with the stupid camera controls. Just made me want to.
You just have to know
something.
Where you're going.
That being said, this was the first game that instigated targeting,
right?
Yes. And lock-ons. So there is some innovation there too.
I think the best testament to the controls of Ocarina of Time is when you realize how little they have changed in newer Zelda games. Breath of the Wild is probably the largest change because they added a jump button and a whole bunch of fast change menus and things for new kinds of equipment. But, I mean, you look at Twilight Princess or even Skyward Sword to an extent, and they just didn't change that much. The targeting system works more or less the same way as it always has. And you've kept that idea of just equipping your items to whatever the face buttons were, and put them wherever you want. And I think the controls are probably one of the most solid pieces of Ocarina of Time.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure.
Alex, I believe it was Alex, mentioned the water temple earlier, so we'll move on from that kind of thing to the general gameplay and the dungeons of the game. So, we're moving from kind of the overall game to kind of the actual gameplay itself. So, how did you guys like kind of the mechanics of the game? Stuff like that.
Well, I'm going to talk about the Water Temple for a second. So, 20 years ago, when I was 10, playing this game, I absolutely hated that place.
Fight me.
I was stuck for months. I was stuck for months trying to find some dumb key somewhere. Finally had to go buy a player's guide to figure it out. But after 20 years, or even really I'd say after 10 or 15, I actually really like that dungeon. I think it's really well designed. It's confusing. It's easy to miss a couple keys, but I really like it. I think it's one of the best dungeons in the game now. And I think that the reputation it's got just from us all being kids and hating it at the time is a little unfair.
I really enjoyed the Water Temple. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's one that you have to do it in one go. Like, you can't just go out and be have I done? Because then you're just screwed. You have to just play straight through it. What gave me more trouble than any of them, though, was Jabu's Belly.
Jabu is terrible.
I still cannot get through that without, looking at something going, I can't remember where to go, because I don't know what it is about Jabu. Everything looks the same in that stupid dungeon.
It does
Everything looks the same.
Yeah.
And you have, the holes that you have to figure out in his tummy, and you have to fall down the hole, and it's like you have to fall down the right one, and it's practically blind, and I hate it. I hate that.
I didn't have that nearly as bad. I kind of agree a little bit more with Josh to an extent. Water Temple used to annoy me. The more I've been doing these randomizers, they don't faze me anymore. But, I can do the first three dungeons of this game, pretty much, without needing anything, and I'm usually pretty much fine. What I have an issue with is actually Fire Temple. Fire Temple, I've always had to have some sort of reference point in. Water Temple, I'll have something there too, but, I've had more issues with fire than water for some reason.
You mean, on Jabu, I didn't like it when I was younger also, but, I've played through the game a couple times recently, and that dungeon's actually really short. There's not a lot there.
Yeah, Jabu's short.
It is short. It is short. It's just easy to get lost in it.
Yeah, if you go down the wrong hole.
Is there.
Sure. I do think it's probably the most poorly designed in the game.
Yeah, it's not pleasant to play through, so it just feels like
really
a slog.
I agree.
Yeah, and there's no, like, it's not really an intuitive dungeon. Like, the other ones, it's like, oh, you see this, I bet there's a puzzle here, and this is just, guess which hole to go down.
Right.
Hope you like looking at flesh for an hour.
With that awful music, too, which, yikes.
Oh, and while you're at it, carry this kid.
Oh,
the original the original escort mission. I love it.
Hey,
thanks, Nintendo.
Don't hate on fish waifu.
Excuse me, Ruto is not blind.
What?
It's not the original escort mission.
Hey, it's 3D escort mission. Technicalities, whatever. Fine.
I mean, I love Ruto. She knew what she was doing. She's like, hey, here's a cute boy. I'm gonna get him to carry me everywhere. Good for her.
You know, I've never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, respect that.
She,
right?
She did
all
right. want to
absolutely
marry him.
I respect that.
She did
That's
end up wanting to
That's
marry
true.
Him, so I think we've discovered Nintendo's true purpose behind Jabu Jabu's belly.
I mean, they do get engaged at the end of it, so
it's true.
I don't think it was a secret.
You know, people say it ends up being Malin and Link that get together, but no, I think we've just pieced it together. It was Ruto and Link all along.
Hey, so
that
that's
can't
how
happen.
Hey,
was
I'm
born.
So I'm still on that Malin Link ship. Don't at me.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be Ruto.
It could
becomes,
be. Maybe that is how Prince Sidon came
sage.
To be.
That's
oh
a far down the timeline. That's
you
like
say.
Way down the timeline. We'll get there maybe in a few Nintendo
years.
Help us.
Oh my goodness.
I have to ask a quick question on that, since we've been talking about dungeons. What's everyone's favorite dungeon?
It's a really hard question.
That's hard.
Why'd you do this?
Because mine is Forest. I think I love the music. I just love the design of it. I love the Phantom Ganon boss fight. I think is great. It's tennis, but it's great.
Was that the first tennis game?
No.
No.
Man, you're showing your age.
Well, in Zelda.
No,
because it was in a Link
Which
to the
one
Past.
Was the,
Aghanim.
It was in a Link to the Past. Okay, Aghanim. I forgot Aghanim existed.
Wow.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's really hard for me to choose between the Forest Temple, the Spirit Temple, and the Water Temple at this point.
I
like the Spirit
same.
Temple, I think.
I do like Twin Rova better than Phantom Ganon, for sure. But I don't know that I like the actual temple more than the Forest Temple.
I think that the Spirit Temple is most interesting because you have to go into it twice.
That's true, yeah.
It's the first time that you really have to, like, actively switch between the two, and that Link really makes it interesting to me. Ha ha ha, Link.
That joke never gets old, ever.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-pow!
But, as for, like, atmosphere and the feeling of playing it through, I think the Forest Temple is just so spot on, and I have a hard time picking between the two.
Yeah.
I do like the Forest Temple. The music is just, like, it's haunting. I love it.
It is.
The music's
so
fantastic.
It's like the perfect gateway dungeon into the adult side of the game.
Yeah.
The true answer lies with Master Quest Spirit Temple.
No. Not even going there.
I can't comment on it. I haven't played it. I know Miss A is streaming
it,
but
soon.
The Spirit Temple on Master Quest.
And it was hell.
Yeah, that dungeon made
I'm
me
playing
stop
that
playing
with three
for
hearts
years.
Soon.
Ooh,
that's gonna be fun.
Wow.
Yeah, that's on my list for next year, and I'm like high key dreading it.
Oh wait, Miss A, are you doing a 3-heart run right now?
Yes, I am.
I forgot you were doing that. Huh?
Yep.
Neat.
I'm doing that on Twitch. It's
Everyone's
fun.
Playing Ocarina of Time right now, except for me.
Well, anyway.
I have things to do, like breaking Twilight Princess.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Enjoy breaking the game.
I thought it was already broken.
Oh, wow.
Hey, shots fired.
Maybe we should have had you. Randy and Elias agreed too much. Maybe we should have brought you instead.
Yeah, that Twilight Princess segment was way too positive. There was no negative in there at all.
Facts.
It was way too. Randy was like, hey, I hate this game. And then he comes and he's like, actually, I don't really hate this game that much.
I don't hate it either, deceptive. For the record. It's just fun to poke fun at all the things it did wrong.
Same
there are no bad Zelda games.
That Well, Triforce Heroes exists. But
hey, Triforce Heroes is very fun.
Triforce Heroes is fun.
Yeah. When you have four people.
When you have four people.
Spirit Tracks is fun too.
That does not make Triforce Heroes fun, because with four people, someone doesn't get to play.
Now,
the person not playing is the one having fun.
Hey!
Wow!
Amanda is full of unpopular opinions. Also, Amanda, if you think Spirit Tracks is bad, go play Phantom Hourglass.
No thanks.
And then come back.
I'm good.
Anyway, I'm good. Ocarina of Time.
Yes, this game. We're very distractible people, aren't we?
Yes. So how about the characters, then?
Wow, you're taking my list right away from me. That's... not very nice. Yeah,
he's taking initiative.
You're turning it into the Spirit Tracks roundtable, and we can't have that.
I didn't play Spirit Tracks. Honestly, the characters are interesting. Like, there's not a whole lot of dimension in a lot of it, just because it's also, like, trying to create this new 3D world. It's like, hey, we have all these characters. We're doing all these things. Ha!
I do also think that the characters are very bare bones, and I know that we just got off of the Spirit Track train, but also I do think that Majora's Mask kind of expanded on a lot of it, so after you play Majora's Mask, I kind of relate it to a lot of the Ocarina of Time characters. By themselves, they're like, meh. There's not a whole lot going on, but then because they reuse so many of the assets and so many of the same characters are in Majora's Mask just with really deep stories, I kind of feel like that makes it a little bit more relatable.
My favorite part of Ocarina of Time is when Malon gets kidnapped by aliens.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Majora's Mask kind of.
So
my perspective on the characters is a little bit different, because... at least the most notable characters, I related to a lot more, or thought were way more interesting than they probably are, because they seemingly tied to other Zelda games. And this was like even before the timeline. And some of it's not even timeline related. Like Malon and Talon, to me, were immediately remade versions of Marin and Terran from Link's Awakening. And so, I mean, that's what I thought of when I saw them. It was like it was almost the same characters in 3D to me. I mean, even like the Marin and Terran don't have a farm, but Marin sings just like Malon does.
And Terran real
even
quick.
Even bigger than that was the sages, because A Link to the Past establishes that there are seven wise men in the original translation, but they were just depicted as hooded old guys. I mean, they didn't have any character to them. They were just a footnote in the backstory.
Speaking of sages, what's everybody's thoughts on Kabora Gabora?
We'll get there.
I hate him so much. Oh, okay.
I like him, but I don't like the trap.
No,
it's a trap.
It's a
would
trap!
Would you like to hear what I maybe not kind of, sort of, maybe one time said again? Yes and yes.
But no, I thought it was cool that the sages got actual characters, instead of just being a footnote. So even though most of them aren't really that deep, or any of them even, I mean, maybe Saria the most, I still thought it was interesting that they tied it together that way. It was kind of the beginning of seeing, well, maybe the Zelda games do all kind of tie together, just because they had made those connections in the characters.
I did like all the characters. Yeah, they were kind of one-dimensional, and there wasn't a big backstory, but it's like I wanted there to be backstories with all the characters, I guess. And so I liked them. I thought they were well-designed, and I thought the basic concept of them were very well done, so I really fell in love with everybody. But there just wasn't a lot of depth to them. But like I thought Nibiru was like the coolest person on the planet. Like I loved her so much. And
Nibiru is amazing.
I need to update my Nibiru cosplay, actually.
On the topic of Nibiru, are there any characters do you think kind of fell short of what you thought they could have been?
I'm sorry, are you
most
are
of
we
them.
Talking bad about Nibiru?
Oh! I was hoping no one would catch that sly transition.
You're not subtle.
I mean, most of the characters just don't get very much screen time to begin with. I mean, they try to establish the sages in particular, and the ranchers as well, by having you meet them as a child and then re-meet them as an adult. But it still pretty much boils down to one meeting for each character. Saria, maybe you've got a couple more.
Mido has it as well, because he's like, I don't like you. And then we get to Adult Link, and I'm like, okay, you get a pass, which just feels a little bit weird.
But there's really just... I would say most of them fall short of what we would prefer by today's standards. But at the same time, I don't know that the champions in Breath of the Wild are a whole lot more developed than the sages in Ocarina of Time. They probably are more. Right, but...
But Daruk doesn't like puppies. That's enough development for me.
I mean, no. We also get the flashbacks in Breath of the Wild, though. Like, even though it's not right. super story-driven.
You get something. Yeah.
Yeah, I still felt like even in Breath of the Wild, it felt a little short, though.
That's a whole different discussion. I think we can get into detail on that.
There's so many different topics. We are straying like so far down the rabbit hole. It's great.
We're talking about Zelda.
We're talking about Zelda. It's allowed.
Yeah,
and it's a podcast.
Zelda
we're good.
Is so I'm, linked I'm, between I'm, everything. So
there's I'm a link linked. Between worlds
Stop.
Here.
I didn't do that one on purpose.
But up.
I'm sorry for all our bad jokes.
I'm Listen. Not.
Yeah. I was contributing. I just didn't do that one on purpose.
Yeah.
I did many others on purpose.
I'm out of puns. Yep. So. All my bad jokes are gone.
So Ocarina of Time. Again.
Yeah,
yes.
that game. Wait, this is about Ocarina of Time?
Oh, I thought this was about Spirit. No, I'm kidding. Oh.
All right. Well, so how about the plot, as bare bones and basic as it is in my eyes?
What?
How
I
is
mean,
that basic.
It's not. Okay, by today's standards, you can clearly see that's like, oh, you have to do these things. But it's, again, this is the first real adaptation of Zelda from a 2D to 3D plane. They're not going to do anything super crazy. They want to make it sort of similar. This is not straying from anything different from what Link to the Past did, but in a different, like, a different execution.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not different from a Link to the Past, hardly
Zelda
at all.
Zelda, in general, doesn't have the, like, lore-wise, it's extensive, but, like, basic plot arc is never really that different. There's an evil dude, you gotta take the evil dude down, bada bing, bada boom, you win some profit. I don't, you know what I mean.
I mean, it's been classic good versus evil.
Yeah, that's true. It's classic. Yeah. We know what's going on.
And it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they actually did a good job tying it back to A Link to the Past, because that's what there were a lot of us back then that would have played A Link to the Past, if nothing else. I mean, there was 7 years between them, but I mean, it was a big game on the Super Nintendo. But you look at, like, the three pendants and the three spiritual stones, they're the same colors, they stand for the same things, and they all get you the Master Sword. And then you go to the Dark World, I mean, in one of them it's a time skip, and in one of them it's an alternate dimension. But
games don't need to have nuance to be interesting.
But you go to the Dark World to get the crystals or the medallions that you need to have the power of the sages to take down Ganon. It's a simple plot, but most Zelda games have simple plots. It's really just, it's more about being able to explore the world, and you can kind of, you kind of fill it in yourself by exploring, and there's all those side quests or just side characters you can go and find that
yeah,
aren't
really
part of the main
the side
plot.
Quests in it. And, you know, for me, when I played Ocarina of Time, that was really the first game I'd ever played that had, like, that extensive of a plot, honestly, because I've been playing, like, for the longest time, just stuff like Mario 64, Yoshi's Story, and Donkey Kong. Well, Donkey Kong 64 wasn't out yet. It was Diddy Kong Racing that I was playing, and, like, Star Fox, and none of those had as, to me, as much of a narrative story as this one did. Or as...
Yeah.
It felt more of an adult story to me in my 12-year-old eyes. It was like, I'm playing a grown-up game. This is awesome.
That's adorable.
Coughs up red blood and everything. Rated M for mature.
Yeah.
You know, I think that going beyond like the, yes, at the time it was great. I think we've covered the bases there. At the time it was fantastic, and the narrative was definitely a lot more mature than a lot of other games that were out at the time. But honestly, I don't think that it really needed anything super detailed. Just as it is, it is very basic, it is very bare bones compared to what we have today. But there's also something to be said about not having a story, I guess, distracting, quote-unquote, from what its strengths actually were.
That makes sense.
I agree.
It had such a good atmosphere, it had characters that you met once in a while, and you just had this big open adventure, and you didn't really need a huge gigantic plot twist here, plot twist there. That's what JRPGs are for, you know?
Yeah, if you but did that, still. You would have, what, Final Fantasy 13 right there.
Thank you,
yeah,
Xenoblade.
Yeah, oh boy, that final hallway.
For the record, Final Fantasy 13 is great.
It has
it's
some
linear.
Great characters. That's the thing, is it has some great characters and it has a really cool story. I love Vanille. I love Vanille so much.
That's like, fair, but Lightning is bland.
Since I'm already full of unpopular opinions today, I've never played a Final Fantasy. The only JRPG I've ever played are the three Xenoblade games.
Peyton, you're canceled.
Ocarina of Time. Zelda.
Anyway.
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Anyway, side quests. So, not as much as Majora's Mask, but there are a ton of side quests in Ocarina of Time. So, what are your guys' kind of favorites and disfavorites? Wait.
I like the one with the frogs.
The frogs. It's true.
I did. I don't know why. I just did. Any of the ones over in that area, I loved.
Frogs?
There were those frogs
it's a little
around
mini
Lake
game.
Hylia next to like the professor guy.
They're at Zora's River, and they sing a song.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they just give you
I forgot
rupees?
About them.
No, they give you...
a piece of heart.
You got a piece of
piece
heart
of heart. And you get like two or something like that. I don't remember, but I know you got some things.
You get a piece of heart, and you can also get a lot of money from it, too. But,
right, because that's where you play all the songs and then they get bigger and stuff. That's right. All right.
Yep. I have a mixed relationship with the actual, like, Bigoron sword quest, because at one hand, you know, you have to do all these cool things, but it's also incredibly long-winded sometimes, and you're just like, I gotta do all of these things, and you're traveling all over the map, and you're just like, oh, man.
I mean, also, the reward for it is very good, though.
That's
it
true.
Is. Yes.
It is worth it on that end.
And my perspective on that one is similar to what I had with the characters, is I went into it having played a Link's Awakening not all that long before, or replaying it constantly, and that game introduced the trading sequence. And at the end you got the boomerang, which sounds boring, but it's one of the best items in the entire game. And so I thought it was really cool that they had taken the trading sequence from Link's Awakening and put it in Ocarina of Time, that it was just making something I loved better. The last couple portions of it are kind of annoying with the time limits and running all the way up the mountain, but overall, I actually really like that side quest.
And as the games went on, the boomerang got more and more useless.
That is true,
yeah.
Because it's never been as good as it was in Link's Awakening.
I mean, they're pretty good in, like, Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass.
But they kill the final boss in one hit?
Whoa, wait, what? Excuse me?
What?
Really?
Yeah, the boomerang one-shots the final form of the nightmare in Link's Awakening.
Lol.
I did not know that.
Okay, speedrunning tactics.
Time to play that game.
Yep.
Alright, and what about you, Misei? Your kind of opinions on the side quests?
I don't think that there's, like, a whole lot of them that are really noteworthy other than, well, as we've already mentioned, the frogs and the Bigoron sword. I feel like those are the ones that are very, very standout-ish, but I do like how there are small little things that you can do along the way that kind of count, like going and searching for the heart piece in the graveyard, or doing the cuckoo quest for, not Anju. But I think there's one side quest, quote-unquote, that drove me up the wall, and I wish it either did something or was left out completely because I agonized over it.
Was it the pose?
No, it's the
running man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about it, too.
Running Man doesn't do anything in the final version of the game. They were planning on doing something with it with, like, the whole add-on thing for the N64, but it never panned out, so he just does nothing. Which is frustrating, because I can't tell you how long I spent as a kid racing him back and forth and back and forth, trying to shave off those few milliseconds to actually beat him, and you never do. And I wasted hours on that, and I still remember being pissed. I'm still pissed about it.
So. I remember when Nintendo Power published that you could not actually beat him.
I remember that. I'm going, no, I'm determined. I will find a way to beat him.
See, though, I didn't read Nintendo Power, so I never got the memo. I thought I just sucked at games. Oh, no.
I don't remember when Nintendo Power existed.
Press F.
I looked it up earlier, and I was 8 when it was discontinued.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Has it actually been 8 years since it was discontinued?
It got discontinued in 2012.
God damn it, Peyton.
Wow.
Wow.
And
wow.
At that point, it had already, like, changed hands anyways. Like, it wasn't...
It was still good. It was not the same magazine.
No,
I'm bad at math.
Anyway,
I was 10 when it got canceled. I don't know my age or how to math.
I mean, there are other things, like... I don't know if you call them side quests. The mini games are fun. That was a lot of the side activity was... running around doing the mini games, the ones that actually got you stuff. I also like the mini game of standing at Lake Hylia shooting the Gwaze.
Yeah, did that forever.
Teach me your sniping skills, please.
I can try.
I probably can't do it anymore, but it was fun back then.
Stream sniping before there were streams.
We haven't talked about Epona.
Epona, I consider a side quest, to be fair.
It is. Because you...
No, you need her at some point.
I never really thought
point.
Of that as a side quest. I thought it was just kind of a necessity part of the game.
You don't
have
to.
Yeah, you need her. Yeah, you do. Oh, wait.
No, yeah, because you technically don't need Epona. Because
you're
you
right,
can get
actually,
through...
Because you can get the long shot for the bridge.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Epona gets you there earlier, but you do not necessarily need her.
Right.
Yeah, but most players got her as a required
probably.
Path.
And because, of course.
I guess another side thing we didn't talk about at all was is the Gerudo Training Ground, which is kind of a side optional dungeon.
Yeah.
That's true, because they don't want to use the ice out
of it.
Yeah, you don't use ice arrows at all in the game.
Yeah, they're completely
need them.
Optional.
They don't do anything. Ice arrows are garbage, and I wish you got a better reward for going through all of that hassle. I went through that whole thing, and I was like, the ice arrows are garbage. Why am I doing this? You only get it for the sake of saying that you completed the game, and it's something as important sounding as another type of arrow. And I'm sorry, I hate it. I have bitterness about this.
That would have been cool.
That would be nice.
That would have been cool. Or you could, like, go to the lake and actually freeze the water like you could have in Majora's Mask. That also would have been really, really cool. I'm really bitter about the ice arrows. The ice arrows make me mad.
It does seem like a missed opportunity for sure. I mean, I think that the challenges in the dungeon are cool, but I do typically just skip that whole thing.
It's so unnecessary, and it's like it's such a hassle to go through the entire thing. Yeah, it's kind of cool in its entirety. Like, as a subsection, it would have been nice to have a reason to go through it, but since there's no reason, why even bother?
All right, as much as I would love to keep talking and discuss my favorite side quest, going backwards through Gerudo Desert, we gotta talk about our final question. So how do you guys feel about the newer versions and the re-releases of the game? There have been
3DS
a
is best.
Lot.
Yes.
The 3DS version is wonderful.
It fixes everything and it takes nothing away.
You believe it's the definitive version?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Please bring it to Switch.
I have been hunting down Ocarina of Time 3D for 6 years, and I haven't found it.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I've been hunting down the 3DS version for years, and I can't
literally find it. At work, there's, like, tons.
Nope. Everywhere I go, I find Majora's Mask 3D, but no Ocarina of Time 3D.
Do you go to a Best Buy near you? There's literally there. It's also on the eShop for $20.
I'm broke.
You be broke when you go buy the game physically.
I have actual cash, not eShop cash.
Then go get an eShop gift card.
How do I transfer cash? Direct cash.
Tell
like
you
the
what.
Paper dollar bill.
Tell you what. We can
you
help Peyton get
cash.
A copy
That's
of Ocarina of Time later.
So I could get a good version.
Oh my god, Peyton.
Anyway.
Regarding remakes and re-releases, I think most of them have actually been pretty solid. The GameCube remake or re-release was pretty good. I like the controls probably better than the 64. As we established already, the Wii U version, for whatever reason, is not good. It seems like the analog sticks on the Wii U are just not good for N64 games.
Because I think the ports of the N64 are just weird.
The Wii, I didn't have a problem with. On the Wii, I thought it played just fine. But with the Wii U Pro Controller, it seems like it's just bad.
It wasn't great.
No, it wasn't at all.
It wasn't a fun experience. I just thought that's how the game was. That also might be why I don't like the game, because I thought the controls were just that way.
Could be. No, for sure not. I mean,
no,
they're
to play
not
the good version. You won't have that
they're
problem.
They're not like super precise. We are talking about an N64 analog stick, but not like the Wii U one port for some reason. It's really jumpy and really difficult to aim at anything in that port.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can get the 3DS version, get the 3DS version.
It's the most polished version for sure. I mean, it's when you play it, it's how you remembered originally playing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can like interject about the 3DS version, the only thing that I feel like might be a turnoff is that they took away some of the more well-known glitches. Like I just learned that the shield stab glitch is fixed, and I know a lot of people like playing with that. So you can't do that anymore. But
yeah.
And the only other negative aspect that I can think of it is that the Master Quest version is flipped. And
oh,
yeah.
Is that,
and harder.
Really weird.
That
I know,
is a
I appreciate
odd.
That it's harder. I appreciate the difficulty because I really wanted the double damage. I feel like that puts a lot of the challenge back into it and really makes it into like a Master Quest. But the flipped world is really weird and strange, and it takes some getting used to, but it's screwing with my ability to differentiate between the two.
I have the worst sense of direction, so I don't like it anytime something gets flipped.
Right. Do I do think it's probably worse for us right now just because we've played the original so many times. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't like the idea of flipping things very much.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
But other than that, it's super solid and everything is spot on for the 3DS remake.
Oh, yeah. Well, and with that, and a 50-something minute discussion,
woo,
that is it for our roundtable. So,
yeah.
Amanda and Alex, you can of course find here on the podcast, and you've heard their voices already probably too many times during this video.
Video, this is an audio thing.
It's not a video, honey.
Okay, on. I said the same thing about episode 2 when I was watching. I was like, man, this is a good video. And my dad was like, no, it's an audio thing, bud. I was like, okay, well, I'm just destined to be wrong.
That needs to be on your Twitter bio.
Destined to be wrong and
permanently canceled.
Permanently canceled and destined to be wrong. There's my taglines.
Yep, you're welcome.
Anyway.
That's a pretty good tagline, actually.
You're welcome.
It's catchy.
Okay, then. And man with the toaster mic, but Joshua and Massey, you guys are guests, so would you guys like to plug yourselves and do what good content creators do and support themselves?
I'm a guest at Zelda Universe now.
I mean,
really?
you're a guest
surprise,
on the podcast.
Surprise, you've been fired.
You're fired, Josh.
I think I'm listed in the credits of all the podcast episodes.
Are you actually on the podcast team?
I'm like an advisor or something, I think is
okay,
what he
yeah.
calls me.
So you're not actually on the podcast team, so plug yourself.
Well, if you want to find me, you can find me at ZeldaUniverse.net. I write reviews and features sometimes, or occasionally just the news, or guides. You can also find me on Twitter at WatcherJoshua. And that's probably all. If you look for me too hard, you probably won't find me, because I tend to just stick behind the scenes in the shadows. I'm mysterious,
like
Amanda
said. Got it. Love
you, but
you're
said.
Useless.
Or rant about Zelda 2.
Oh my gosh, you're
Zelda 2 is wonderful. Let's talk about that next time.
No.
It has an excellent soundtrack. I will give it that.
Much later. I'll need, some headache medicine for that episode.
It's okay. I'll just host it for you.
Oh, great. That'll be fun.
There'll be a lot of arguing between me and Josh.
And me.
I didn't say you were invited.
I say we just invite everyone that hates Zelda 2 onto the podcast, and we'll have just everyone talk at once.
Yep.
I'm sure that'll go well. All right. Yeah, where can we find Masay?
Oh, it's my turn now. Okay, I'm the actual guest here. I'm barging in on everyone's business. Hello. I'm Masayanella. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all of the places. Literally everything. I do art and videos, and I do a lot of Zelda content too. So I fit in kinda once in a while.
But what about Tumblr?
What's that?
Huh?
Good what? Answer. Good answer. Very good answer. And with that, we will be throwing it back to Alex and Amanda, who are already here, but we're throwing it back to them anyway.
Thanks, everyone, for the future.
Yes. And bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you for having me along.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for coming, Miss A.